So we're missionaries in Mexico. We are in a town called Magdalena de Quino, Sonora, Mexico. It's just south of Arizona, so if you go Phoenix, Tucson, Nogales, cross the border, an hour later you're in Magdalena de Quino, Sonora, Mexico. We are in the heart of the cartels. In fact, I got word from one of our men today that they're planning to attack again today. I haven't heard the outcome of that. And so we can appreciate your prayers for our people. We have been in a war, well, ever since we've been in Mexico for 16 years, but in a genuine bullets zinging war for a couple years now in our town. And we left, Wednesday. We left Monday, all right? So we left Monday morning. It's about 1,600 miles to where we live. We came out. We had a young man with us who was visiting us. We flew him out of Salt Lake City back to Oklahoma because that was a convenient location to meet a plane. And then came on in today. And we're glad to be here. We're glad to stop for a little bit. We were previously, just a week ago, 10 days ago, we were in Ohio. We're not on deputation. We're not on furlough. We just... I had to go help my mom and dad and Ezra do some things. He moved out here. Mom and dad moved to Kansas, and we ended up back in Mexico for a couple days, turn around, come back out. So we've been running a few miles. But anyway, good to be here. So I'm a missionary kid. So what that means is my dad was a missionary. My dad went to Africa, the Central African Republic, right smack in the heart of Africa. In 1950, I came along in 1964 and lived there till I was 14, 15 years old. Came to the States, finished high school, went to Bible school, and my whole desire in life was to go back to my country of the Central African Republic as a missionary. God intervened. We went to New Zealand, and we were in New Zealand. We went for life to New Zealand. Two short years after being in New Zealand, through birth, illness, and death of a daughter, our visas were revoked, and we ended up being back in the United States, and I was anxious to go anywhere in the world to be a missionary, and God sent me to Bullhead City, Arizona. We started the Mojave Baptist Church in Bullhead City, Arizona, and then in 2004... We went to Mexico, first in a town called Navajoa, which is quite a bit south, then Magdalena, and then God put on my heart to go right into the middle of the heart of the cartel country, and God's given us grace, my wife and daughter and children grace. Ezra lived there with us for a number of years and learned how to live circumspectly. While trying to live a life. And anyway, so Ezra has all those answers. When you want to ask something about it, he can tell you all about it. All right. And from a different perspective, I'm sure. And so we are in the midst of asking God to raise up a man to take our work. We've been there for a couple of years now, asking God to raise up a man to take our work so that we can continue on. The field is the world, and so we're just been asking God to do that in our lives, and we would appreciate your prayers that you might pray that God would raise up His man for our work. We've trained various men; none of them have taken the work. We have had other men that have been trained in other ministries come and consider coming alongside. But they just kind of get scared, and that's all right. If God calls somebody, they won't get scared. They won't be so scared, or they'll get over it. And if God doesn't call them, I don't want a hireling anyway. So right now, I have the best assistant money can't buy, and I know that because money's tried to buy him a couple times. All right, and not called to preach. That pastor anyway. But he's filling in for me, does a wonderful job, very faithful man. If God would raise him up, that would be great. If God doesn't, that would be great. And we'll just continue on until God sees fit. But we'll be here through the week. And so please ask us any questions you may have. We've gone through a lot of things. And none of it is off limits. All right, we don't have any part of our life that we say is off limits. I believe God puts things in your life so that you can help others. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so it may make us cry, but that's all right. All right, it may make us laugh. That's okay. All right, they're there for an example of the believer. Be thou an example of the believer. So there's two tables to Mexico on the back wall. Choose whichever one you want. And the kings are going to Guanajuato, and they have their table there. And then over there we have some little stuff. Now, also on our table, so we have prayer cards on our table. We have very few. I don't think Ezra's on the prayer card. I think they're later than that, but they're not very recent. But anyway, not being on deputation or furlough, you know, it's not very high priority to have prayer cards. But we've got some that we pulled out of some dark corner somewhere, and they're back there. And you can take some of those and pray for us. Now, also, with pastor's permission, Anna, our daughter Anna, sells, and Ezra started this, but it doesn't go to him no more. All right, he left. That's his problem, you know. And I mean, it's good stuff. He bought a four-wheeler by doing this thing. So, you know, these are ties. We have patriotic ties. We have Bible-themed ties. All right, why the tie? On the back, it has this little brand name. And the brand name is Stephen Harris Ties. My name's Stephen Harris. this has helped our children as it's gone away from Simon and Ezra and Abigail and now Anna. And I'm just waiting for Anna to leave home so I can get this kind of deal. No. Anyway, it has Stephen Harris on it. So our prayer cards are there for you to pray for us, but I also use this as a prayer card, all right? You have an opportunity. These ties, whether they're patriotic or they're these Bible-themed ties, are phenomenal to open doors to witness, all right? People see a patriotic tie and they'll say something. Bible-themed tie, they'll say something. It gives you an opportunity to lead into presentation, invitation to church. I got this off of a missionary came through our church. It's an open door. All right, but then at the same time, you put that tie on, please remember to pray for the Stephen Harris family. All right, so that's kind of what we use. Those are $10 a tie. If you'd like them, that's fine. And the money goes to Anna, okay? And I don't tell her how to spend it other than she has to pay the bill for the tithes, but she makes money on top of that. All right, please do that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 14. And the book of Acts, of course, is kind of the missionary book of the Bible, if you will. And it gives us the life, especially from chapter 12 and on, or 13 and on, it gives us the life of the Apostle Paul. He wasn't the first missionary. That was Jesus Christ. Amen. God sent his son. That's what a missionary is. But he's probably the most well-known missionary in our New Testament. Anyway, I want you to notice a couple of things, and this is a springboard text, if you will, this evening for us tonight. I'm not going to preach a contextual message, but just some thoughts to start this missions conference off with. In chapter 14, verse number 26, and so from these places they've been at, and thence, all right, or from there, from thence, they sailed to Antioch. Going back to chapter 13, you'll understand that Antioch was their home church. It was the church that sent them out. And so they sailed back to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, just like you and I are tonight, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So we find the reality of what's happening is obvious. They are going back to Antioch, and they're telling the church what had happened while they have been gone. All right, and as Pastor mentioned, some 4 or 5 years ago, however long it's been, we were here. September, the King family was here, and they're back. And Brother Charles, right, was here at this church before he went to that other side of the world over there. How do you pronounce that country? Michigan, something like that. I'm out of Ohio. So if you know anything about Michigan, Ohio, you know there's a dead rival there. Anyway, they came back and they had a meeting. They gathered the church together. And that's what your pastor asked you to do tonight, is come as a church and let's have a meeting. We call it a missions conference. Look in chapter 15, if you will, with me. And going to verse number 30. So when they were dismissed, they had this other deal they had dealt with. They came to Antioch in chapter 15. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And then Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. So I'm Judas tonight, and that's Silas, okay, in this passage, all right, because I'm first and he's second. So Judas and Silas, who were apostles, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words. I want to start this missions conference in just a simple manner in this way. The purpose of this meeting, or the purpose of this missions conference. I want to start with understanding our mission of having a missions conference. Let's pray and ask God's blessing, and then I'll share a little bit more with you on that. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Now, Lord, we're asking for your blessing. And, Lord, this isn't just a get-together. And, Lord, we're not just interested in some opinion. But, Lord, we're interested to hear what thus saith the Lord. Bless our time, speak to our hearts, and we'll give you the honor and the praise and the glory for your worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, churches all across this nation, independent Baptist churches, have missions conferences, and I'm sad to say that a lot of times there's really not a whole lot of purpose in the missions conference other than it's a thing that churches do if you're an independent Baptist church. I don't believe that's the case here tonight, and I don't believe that's the heart of your pastor. I believe that there is a purpose to this conference. It's not just one of those meetings that you have to have during the year, so when you go to, you know, and talk to different pastors, you can talk about, well, we had a missions conference, but that sometimes is the way it is. And I'm sad to say that's probably too many times the way it is. It's not just another opportunity, man. You know, if we don't keep having meetings and our people, they're going to go somewhere else. I hope that, and I don't believe that's the purpose of the missions conference tonight, but that God has led through your pastor to have a purpose in this missions conference. And I want you to be here tonight, and I want you to be here the rest of the night and understand what the purpose of being here is. And so let's look at what the biblical purpose that God gave to the Apostle Paul and to these other men as they gathered the church together and expounded unto them, rehearsed all that God had done with them, how he opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, I've got 4 points, and under those 4 points, I've got several points under each one of them, but I know there's a man that's preaching after me, and I want to be very conscientious of that and of you and your willingness to be here. But let me try to give these to you as we run through them very quickly. And so number one, the purpose of this missions conference, and I'll tell you this, pastor doesn't have a clue what I'm preaching, okay? I haven't showed it to him, and I haven't preached it before. I'll show you how you can know that, is because it's written on the back of a paper I just got when I got into town, all right? So now God had given me the thought, and I had it written here. I'll show you what I originally wrote my message on. All right, and that is Tulsa, Oklahoma, 29th of June. So anyway, but I'm going to tell Pastor that anytime I say something that is not right, and that's not the purpose of this missions conference, because he's the pastor, he can stop me, he should stop me. And say, no. And that's the challenge. I'm not the pastor. God put that responsibility on him. But I believe I have the mind of Christ. And therefore, we'll see. What's the purpose of this conference? Number one, the purpose of this conference is to challenge your faith. To challenge your faith. That which is without faith, can you finish that verse for me? Is sin. We want to live by faith because the just shall live by faith. We want to practice faith because the Bible says without faith it is impossible. Not nigh impossible, but it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we're diligently looking tonight and through this week. We're coming. And so I'm kind of giving you a warning, because if you don't like the purpose of this conference, you need to either go home and get right with God or stay wrong with God and not come back, because your faith's going to be challenged. That's the purpose of this missions conference. Now, we're going to challenge your faith. I got 4 points under this first point. So, number one, the purpose of the missions conference is to challenge your faith. And the very first thing I'm going to challenge as far as your faith is concerned is your salvation. It would be a shame to come to any missions conference in the United States of America and hear about how we need to reach the world with Christ and split hell open from a church pew or a church bench. And so to challenge your faith, because without the first step of faith, which is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, why would you even want to be here? And if you don't understand that what the purpose of every bona fide biblical missionary is to seek what Jesus sought, to seek and to save that which was lost, the salvation of souls, then you've missed the purpose of this meeting. The purpose of this meeting is to send men, women, and families to the uttermost, wherever that may be, and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that people can be saved. And I want to challenge you before we even get out of the starting block of this door. What about your faith? What about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What about your salvation? Can you tell me when you were saved? I was talking to Camden. Is that right? And I didn't get so far because I was taking his time and he wasn't getting to enjoy the rest of the table. And so then I went and I sat down with Stephen and I scared his two sisters, and I'm trying to come up with names. Madison is in the orange, and you'll have to help me in the blue. Brooke, I scared them away, but anyway, told the dad, I'm so sorry, I scared your daughters away. But I mean, hey, I understand that. But Stephen, you know, he was trying to take it like a man. But anyway, I was talking to Camden, and before, I didn't get as far enough to ask Camden about his salvation, but I asked Camden about his dad's salvation. I mean, what good is it if you're a missionary, you're not even saved? And he shared with it his mom's salvation experience. And so just a warning that I will get to you and I will ask you how you got saved and when. But what about your salvation? The purpose of this missions conference, let's just start with just the foundation. For no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Amen.
Because what a pity. And you say, man, I really like that missionary. He told these stories and all that. Yeah, but what about your salvation?
Yeah.
So it's to challenge your faith as far as your salvation. And then number two, it's to challenge your faith as far as your sanctification. I'm sorry, you heard it. You heard me say it. You heard me say it. Sanctification. Can we talk about that? Well, we better be able to talk about that. The Bible says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, even your sanctification.
That's right.
Do you want to know God's will? It's to be sanctified. Jesus said, be ye holy, which is what sanctification means, set apart from something called sin, the devil, and the lust of the flesh, and from the world, and to God. And another way of putting the word sanctification is holiness, and the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, and I'm not getting very far. I saw years ago, so I'm from Africa, as you know, and so I saw a little clip one time years ago, and this missionary, like, I got a picture of my dad in the pilth helmet, you know, as they used to wear way back in the 50s and stuff like that when he was a missionary in Africa. And so this little illustration I got is a man with his little pilth helmet on. He's got his, you know, khaki suit that you just assume every missionary in Africa has. He's standing in front of this big desk, and on the front of it, it says board of directors or something like that on the name. And a man in a suit and tie, business type looking guy, he says to the guy, he says, now, missionary, I've been meaning to ask you something. How in the world do you get over all the nudity? And the missionary says, I take as much as I can, and then I go back to the field. Did you get that?
Yeah.
I remember one time I was in a church, and they had a missionary they supported in Papua New Guinea, from Papua New Guinea. And they had his picture there. And he had this big old hole in his nose from where they used to have the bone. And he had this big old hole in his ear where they used to have the gauge. And I kind of smiled and I thought, praise the Lord. But you know what? The next missionary comes in this door probably looks going to look the same thing. Now that we live in where we live. That's all right. God can save him in America as far as he can save him in Africa. But they're still the same. The purpose of this missions conference is to challenge your faith in your salvation. And is challenge your faith in your sanctification. You know, if we're not willing to live holy unto God, then what's this deal all about anyway? And then number three, if I can go, the purpose of, am I doing all right, Pastor? Okay, to challenge your faith in your salvation, to challenge your faith in your sanctification. And then if number three, if I can put it this way, the purpose of this missions conference is to challenge your faith in your submission and in your surrender. What part of my life am I, you know, I'd say, what part of my life am I willing to give God? But probably, what part of my life am I not willing to give God? Because know ye not that you've been bought with the price, and you're not your own? Your whole body was bought. Your whole soul and spirit was bought. You are the Lord's. And the challenge of this missions conference is, are you saved? The challenge of this missions conference is, are you willing to follow the Lord in sanctification? And you say, well, now, what do you mean? I don't have to tell you. The Holy Spirit done told you. Weren't you listening? You don't need me to mention it. God's already ding-donged your bell, you know, and said, that's what I'm talking about. It's also to say surrender. And then number four, the purpose of this missions conference is to challenge your faith as far as your service. What's that song? A something call comes to a volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted. Why not you? Is the purpose of this missions conference, you come tomorrow, we're going to challenge your faith. We're going to challenge your faith. I'm going to challenge it tonight. Brother Charles is going to challenge it when I get done. And then tomorrow we're going to challenge it again. We're going to say it's time to live for Jesus. Let the world go by. Number two, not only is the purpose of this conference and this missions conference is meeting to challenge your faith, but number two, the purpose of this conference is to concentrate your focus. We are so out of focus. 2020 has really dusted our vision, hasn't it? It's to concentrate our focus. Let me give you three thoughts about the challenge here of our faith and the concentration of our focus. In the book of the Bible, in Hebrews, we have a chapter that's known as the chapter of faith. Remember that one? Hebrews chapter, what chapter is that? Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, and we know it as the hall of faith or the chapter of faith, and man, the Bible says, and I already quoted this, that without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, man, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, and verse 39 says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received, what's the next word? Shouldn't it be received, the promise? Isn't faith believing? And yet they received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And then chapter 12 starts, and there's a first word says, wherefore. Now, when you find a wherefore in the Bible, you're supposed to find out what it's there for. And wherefore is there because these all, by faith, died. In faith, having not received the promise. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily unfocus us, beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Focus now. Let us lay aside the weight and sin, the unfocused that does so easily beset us. And let's focus now, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Focus now. And so the purpose of this conference, number one, is to challenge my faith. but it's also to concentrate my focus. And let me give you these three thoughts. So number one, it's to concentrate my focus on the will of my Savior. I am to concentrate my focus on what does Jesus want. It's not about this. It's not about the other. It's not about what the world's doing. It's not about what popular Christianity's doing. It's not about what the norm is. It's all about Jesus. And so it's to concentrate my focus on the will of the Savior. And then the purpose of this conference is to concentrate my focus. And I'm going to use John chapter 4 and verse number 35 for this point. In John chapter 4, verse number 35, we find this very poignant message of Christ, his disciples. Say now ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Hello, 2020. If you can't see the devil at work here trying to sort some things out, you are blind and can't see afar off. If you don't realize up and focus.
Yeah. Amen.
And so it is to the concentrate my focus on the will of the Savior. But number two, say not 4 months and then cometh the harvest. But the purpose of this missions conference is to wake up and concentrate my focus on the woe of the sinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because without salvation, everyone that dies without Christ goes to hell. How can you put that nicely? Your neighbor that doesn't know Jesus, he'll go to hell. Your friend that doesn't know Jesus, but they're moral, he'll go to hell. But they're religious, he'll go to hell. And this isn't the point of the message and to explain why that is, but just the Bible says so, and so that's good enough for right now because the Bible says so. There's only one of two places in an eternity, and it's called heaven or hell. And only people that have accepted, repented of their sin, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, go to heaven, read the Bible, and everybody else, doesn't matter who they are, goes to hell. And the purpose of this conference is to concentrate your focus on the woe of the sinner. And whether they're in an island in Michigan or in Guanajuato, Mexico, or in Vanuatu, where the other family's coming, I think I remember right, it's coming from, or wherever they're at in the world, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're going to hell if they don't have Jesus as their Savior. Concentrate, focus here. Because we live in a society and we live in a country that is so blessed that we've lost our focus. And we get our eyes on things and we get our eyes on circumstances and we get our eyes on everything else. But focus, focus, focus.
Amen.
The woe of the sinner. Then I'm going to go and read to you in the book of Philippians. Chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing to this dear church at Philippi, and he says in chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 14, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate, and the word communicate didn't mean they wrote a letter, sent him out an email. It meant they actually participated with him. The word communicate is the livelihood with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity. So number two, the purpose of this missions conference is to concentrate your focus not only on the will of the Savior, what is God's will, and the woe of the sinner, but it's to concentrate your focus on the work of the saint, on the work of the saint. Nobody helped me. I can do all things through Christ. That's what verse 13 says. Even though nobody helped me. But boy, you guys did. And I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Because you helped me. And I think, without a doubt, that as we continue in 2020, and God spares us to live for Him another day, that we need to concentrate our focus on the work of the saint and not be so worried about, do we really need that bigger, better, newer? Now, you might. You might. There comes a time when everything wears out and you probably need a new one. But let's not make that our focus. Make sure it's God's will for your life before you just keep up with the Joneses. Are the Joneses here, by the way? Concentrate your focus. Number three. Jesus said, "For what shall it gain? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I believe that's in Mark chapter 8. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 6. I'll read to you Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20. Jesus talking to his disciples, go back to chapter 5, and you realize that the context is he's talking to his disciples, not to the multitude. He's talking to his disciples, and he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." My son Ezra said that. I'm so happy to be out here in a drier climate. My truck is not going to rust as bad. I understand that I'm from Arizona for years. I'm a car nut. I hate to drive any of my vehicles back to Ohio. And don't call me in the middle of the winter. No, not coming. You'll hurt my car. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So the purpose of this conference is to challenge your faith, to concentrate your focus. Number three, the purpose of this conference is to compensate your future. It's to compensate your future. I don't know about your 401. I don't know about your earthly savings. We find, first of all, in this mindset of Christ, the vanity of the earthly. As much as I like cars, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. I just spent 10 weeks, 300 and some hours, on a house that Ezra and I own so that we could get it up to par to sell, because it was falling apart. Because that's what houses do. I pulled in after 1,600 miles of driving today in my truck that has 275,000 miles on it, and I pulled out to go to my hotel. I got to replace an alternator tomorrow. My light come on, says, "Hello." You know why? Because even a Toyota part wears out. Vanity of vanity. You can buy something new. Doesn't it bug you to death to buy something new? And you're sitting at that stoplight in your new car, your new truck, and you're just as pleased with yourself as punch can be, you know? And some bogan, or what do you call them? That's an Australian term. Redneck, what do you call them? What do you call them here in Idaho? I is one, so I'm not worried about it, you know. But some guy drives up to you next to you with the same exact model thing, and it's banged up to death, and you're thinking, "I just paid good money for this, and look at his." And you're thinking, "That's really what mine's worth." And it's like, "Oh, that is so depressing." Exactly. You know, I had a pair of boots given to me. It hasn't even been a year. And I got them polished for the first time. Last whatever day it was. And I got home, I took them off. They got a hole in them. They're new boots. How'd that happen? The vanity of the earthly. Earthly things will pass away. But not only to compensate your future by helping you understand the vanity of the earthly, but the purpose of the conference is to compensate your future by challenging the validity of the eternal. The validity of the eternal. Every soul won to Christ is a crown to cast at your Savior's feet. Somehow every dollar given to Jesus for the cause of missions, great is your reward in heaven. What are we going to do in heaven for all of eternity? Well, those of us who have an account in heaven are going to keep withdrawing from that account so that we can cast something at Jesus' feet. But woe unto him that has no account. Somehow God records your prayers. And there's something to cast at Jesus' feet. Somehow God records your faith, and there's something to cast at Jesus' feet. Somehow God records your sacrifice, and there's something to cast at Jesus' feet. Somehow God records your witness, and there's something to cast at Jesus' feet. But woe unto him that hath nothing in an account to cast at Jesus' feet. And the purpose of this missions conference is to compensate your future looking unto Jesus and realizing that heaven and earth shall pass away, but there are eternal values. Number four, and I'm done. I don't have any points under number four. It's just a point by itself. All right? So you ready, Brother Charles? I told Chef, what's your name, Brother Frank? Hank. And it sounds like hunk. Is that what I told?
That's how many people remember it.
I told him. He said, man, you got to preach hard. I said, okay, I tell you what my job is. I'm going to be nice and calm, collected, soft. Because then Brother Charles gets to get up. Number four. What's the purpose of this conference? Paul went back and he reported. Pastor's been kind enough to invite us back. And what's the purpose? To challenge your faith, to concentrate your focus, to compensate your future, to convert your family, to convert your friends, to convert your field. This generation of saints is responsible for this generation of sinners. May I tell you a story? Okay. Can I tell you a story? So 1986, I was in Africa with my dad. I don't know what your picture of Africa is when I say I'm from Africa. Whatever it is, you don't have no idea. Okay? I don't know what your picture is. It's not the one I lived in. But if you can picture the jungle. If you can picture a jungle so thick that when Montezuma, do you remember him? Comes to visit. You can't get off the road. That's the jungle. Montezuma, how many of you don't know who Montezuma is? Montezuma's Revenge. You've never heard of Montezuma's Revenge? It's called dysentery. Now, if you want to know what the difference between diarrhea and dysentery is, pardon me, I'm from Africa, bear with my infirmities for a bit, as Paul said. You ain't never had dysentery, okay? That's the best way to understand what the difference between the two are. Because when you have dysentery, you understand it's not just the other. But a jungle's so thick, you can't get in it. I've been there. That's my part of Africa. And we were out there in the middle of nowhere, Africa. I mean, we're so far into Africa, well, you just can't get there from here, okay? We're the only white people, not within miles, within half a country. But there's five vehicles that travel the road that we're on during the year. And us, one of so four after us. And we're in this, sitting under this, we've made a temporary housing under a tree. We hear a truck coming because there's no noise in Africa. The mechanical noise, there's none. And so we hear this truck. You can hear a truck coming for half a day. Now, we average 5 miles an hour, so, you know, that's not only 40 miles, but, you know, we hear this truck coming, and this truck comes through, and it sees us and our, you know, white faces, and it stops because you just don't see things like that. You see lions and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but you just don't see white people in Africa, you know. So they stop, and it's a load of people that have paid good money to get really sick, and they're called idiots. That want to see Africa. I would be one if I hadn't already seen it, you know. And they pile off the truck. And there's about 20 of them, young kids, you know, 20s. They pile off the truck. And the driver has a reason because he has some mechanical issues and he's looking for see if we can help at all with his, you know, because capital city's like 10 days drive that way. You're not going to get there. And so he comes up, and we don't have what he needed. But Dad goes to his briefcase as soon as he hears the truck stop, and he pulls out his tracks. He has them in English, French, the language we speak, Sango. He has them in German. He doesn't speak a lick of German, but he has them in German, Portuguese. He grabs a hand of them. And as these young hippies are coming off this truck, he's talking to all of them and handing them a tract that he's written. And this white kid from the U.S. comes up and he says, hey, let me give you a gospel tract. The kid takes it. He says, where are you from? Flint, Michigan. I know some people in Flint. Would meet a missionary in Africa. We'll tell him about Jesus. That's why we're having this conversation.